Okay, so my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust on the 25th of July 2009 at 10:25 p.m. on Trafalgar Square for the One Another project. If I could ask you to state your name, age, and where you come from, please.
Yes, I'm Richard James Aitken. I'm 47, and I am resident in Aberdeen.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Can you tell me when it was you first found out about the One Another?
I think it was an article in The Guardian that I saw first, and it pointed to a website, and I saw this opportunity and went, well, a bit wet not to apply, so I clicked in it, and there we go, yes.
So what was your motivation was in becoming part of the project?
Well, I saw it as being, it's an opportunity to be one of the subjects of a major artwork, and well, you know, that's always been a big thing. You know, it's like a one form of immortality. You're there. You're known to history. Yes, it would be kind of feeble to seize that opportunity. So yes, when we were in Holland one time, we saw Rembrandt's Night Watch, and there are these people and 17th century guys, and you see their face and you look at them and you go, well, you know, I wonder what he did. I know he was in this, he was in the civic militia, and I know that he had the money to pay to be in this picture. And we don't know anything else about him. His descendants don't know they're his descendants, you know? And this, with the added dimensions of it, is so much more. Except that, of course, when you think about it, having clicked and had your name and then being accepted, you're going, well, see, this isn't a portrait. I've turned up wearing the respectable suit and in the manner of a kind of painted portrait, you know. This watch comes from my mother's side of the family. The fella had that had that watch, he was a relative that she was proud of, and the stuff that he believed in and taught her and the stuff that he provided for her, it lives on insofar as it does through us, through his descendants, you know. The waistcoat, these buttons, that's my father's buttons when he was in the lighthouse service. He was in the lighthouse service till I was 4. And again, you know, it's family continuity and, oh, here we are, big respectable portrait. You know, here I am, part of the human race, this particular part of the human race, yes. So that was kind of what I wanted to do, but the more you think about it, the more you're going, well, actually, this is an hour. And you could stand there trying to be a living sculpture. There's a lot of people out there in the square during the day who are doing that a lot better than you. You know, they're already doing it. You're not an entertainer. Oh. So, a little unsure of what to do with myself physically while I'm up there, but you have to do something, I think. I mean, there have been people up there being absolutely still, and some of them extremely effective. There was a lady on one of the opera nights, and I thought, yes, you've got a visual eye. You're good at that. I really shouldn't be trying to compete with that because it's amateurish and bad. So that's the one thing. But the other thing is that you've got this microphone feed and it's recorded for posterity. So what I've got is I have a lot of scrappy notes, and I'm kind of hoping that I'll kind of go through what I think's important in my life and all kind of thing. And it probably will be listened to at the time by my family. Oh dear. My thought would be in a couple of hundred years, future archaeologists would be and historians would be listening to this stuff going, you see, they believed this stuff. And looking at me and going, you know, a human like us, but so different. So I'm hoping that my venting away turns out to be entertaining rather than pretentious or hideously embarrassing, but that's just the way it goes. The notes are pretty scrappy. Back when I was doing debating, I always had that as a problem, that I find it very hard to write coherent short notes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's just a mess. So I'm hoping that I can give a coherent account and be entertaining for the people that are looking at this artwork at some point in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much. How did you feel when you received the email or the telephone call to say you'd received a place on the plinth?
Wow, excellent. Now, what's that going to be like? Oh dear. Well, you said it'd be wet not to do it. Are people going to hurt you? No, I suppose not. Are you going to die of embarrassment? No. All right, then. So it's been gradually growing trepidation as it gets closer. And also, one of my flaws is that I can think of a lot of grand plans and go, oh, that'd be entertaining, I could do that. The 5 weeks have passed. I've been doing stuff for work. I've been doing stuff in the house. I've been doing stuff to the car and waiting for people to... And these grand plans have largely fallen to bits, and they were the last things, which are visual gags, basically, for the sake of any children who might be watching. And I threw away half of them because I couldn't carry them all down on the train on my own. So, probably the family are quite glad about that, when that they're not having to put up with my pathetic attempts at humour in that. So, I'm here, and I think it's stage fright. But you know, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt, and I'm hoping by the time I come down, I'll be feeling, well, that, you know, was reasonably coherent. I have presented myself authentically. And part of a community of 2,400 people that have done this. So, yeah, I hope I'm feeling okay when I come down. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And who would you say you're doing this for?
One, I'm doing it for Anthony Gormley and for the history of, and for his project, and two, kind of for art in general, in that I'm being a subject and taking it on, and three, for posterity, for people, by which I mean people a couple of hundred years in the future, going, ooh, look at that, and in some way having an influence on them, doing something for them, even if it's only being an antiquated curiosity.
And could you tell us a little about yourself as well? You mentioned debating, so maybe you could expand a little bit on that and tell us what you do for a living and what you do in your spare time.
It's not a distinguished or particularly point or life story, or one that would go well in fiction, really. I've got a very supportive family, very smart family, I would say, very good people. And I kind of let them down a bit. Back at the time when you could go to university for free, I went to university for free, I had a lot of fun, and then I kind of procrastinated my way through exams and failed. So, went off and got a job, a sciencey kind of job. Oh yes, sciencey kind of job. And the sciencey job I got was, in fact, word printing press in, it was a school technician thing, and I go, what science are you wanting me for? And they go, working a printing press. Oh, good. Did that, did fixing electronic equipment, just kind of basic stuff that anyone with half a brain living in the world can do, you know. This is not working because this belt is broken. This is not working because this switch is obviously not working. And gradually I worked through that, and I worked in the technical department of a school. And again, that's basic stuff, and then on to AVA, and then on to supervisory technician. And when you're doing that, more and more computers and doing electronics, you gradually go into computers. So I ended up doing computer networking. I worked for Grampian Police for 7.5 years, which was interesting. It's much more interesting working for the police than being in it. Much more fun, I would say. You see things, you're not part of it. And therefore, I think it's less stressful. You're not directly going into situations where you're trying to save somebody's life and they're trying to stab you because they're off their heads. So, you know, it's a lot. It gives you a feeling of satisfaction to feel that you're helping that, and at the same time you're not feeling nervous because no one's trying to stab you. So that's good. But after a bit, I moved on to the council, and they have a bigger network, and they go home at night. So I can work on their computers, and in the night I can go, I tried this command, it didn't work. Reload in 20 minutes. There. Nobody cares. Nobody's screaming. No one's dying. In that sense, it's low stress. And it's still, you know, it's the council does useful things. Without the council, there would be no roads. Without the council, there would be no schools. So, socially useful. Ta-da. That's the kind of professional thing. Personal, Reading. I did a lot of reading. Not very physical, really, I would say. I've done a lot of reading. I do role-playing games, which is really playing Let's Pretend for a very long time. As a social activity, I hang around with a bunch of smart people and we speak away to each other and we come up with these great flights of fancy. And it's fun, and it doesn't hurt anyone, and it's not as bad for your health as drinking yourself into unconsciousness on a Friday night and waking up on Saturday and people telling you about the bad things you've done. So it's harmless enough, I would say. Married, met my wife through the role-playing games. She's a linguist, she's a very organized person, she's a librarian now. No children, sadly. We have a cat, very attached to cat, overly attached to cat probably. My sister has children and a family, and they live next door to my father and go out and see them and the extended family. So doing all right, fairly vanilla, I would say. Yeah. If you were looking for jazz it up a bit, I think I mentioned this on the website. Occasionally something will happen and I'll see something and go, oh, well, it'd be very wet not to do that. And one of the things I did was static trapeze. There was a class advertised static trapeze. Better do that. It's completely safe. I'm not claiming to be brave in any way whatsoever. People that were doing it, very professional, very pleasant people. You had a leather belt around you, so if you fell off, they would whiz up in the air and you would come down. We weren't actually very high, but it was good because, it is actually quite exciting. It does take a little bit of nerve to throw yourself, to fall backwards off something and plan on catching yourself on your ankles, you know. It stretched me, you know, it's quite good. The other thing is that now, when I go to a circus or see acrobats or even ballet dancers, you go, see what they're doing there, which just looks pretty. Actually, that's a strength move. They're incredibly strong. You appreciate it more when you've tried to do it, no matter how badly you've tried to do it, I would say. So that was one thing. I was an extra in a play at one time. An extra in a film at one time, in Rob Roy. Hitting your microphone there. Having the whiskers, I saw they wanted extras. Whiskery-looking people, they'll be crying out for them. Everyone else had the same idea. So I turn up at this audition, and then they phone up and they say, we can use you, but lose the whiskers. We need lowlanders. We need the city people. So I spent 3 days in a tent jeering at Tim Roth. Not many people can say they've done that in one of the fight scenes. I don't think I appeared in the final cut at all, but taking part in that and seeing the way that film actors behave and the tremendous amount of effort behind the whole thing, that was interesting too. And a bit of an eye-opener. You see all this stuff that's going on that you don't suspect when you're just watching a film. So, let's see. More recently, I joined the children's panel, which I don't think you have down here, but it's a kind of juvenile court thing that they have in Scotland. I felt that I should be doing something useful, socially useful, and if you're being a bit harrowed by seeing people's car crash lives and having 45 minutes to try to say a wise thing and to make a disposition of this child who's in a messed up situation, it's a bit distressing for you, but my God, it's more distressing for everyone else on that side of the table, you know. I'm doing that, and you meet a lot of good people on it. People that think that they should be making a difference, people who believe in society. And even the folk on the other side of the table, even the folk who have some terrible drug problem or a mental health problem, the parents who are bringing somebody up so they're growing up to be a broken person, they love their children. They're doing their best, you know? And no matter how badly they're doing at it, you no longer really believe in bad people. Well, not to the same extent, you know? Until you watch the news and the politics in particular. Yeah. So is that?
Thank you very much. Okay. Finally, right, maybe to close, what kind of impact would you like the plinth? Are you expecting the plinth to have on you, and would you like the plinth to have on others?
I'd like it to have an impact. I mean, I've been thinking away, going, what can I say? What can I do? What would you want recorded for posterity? Have you got any thoughts that you think are worth recording? Why are you worth trying to poke yourself into people's attention? So having thought about that for a bit, I would kind of hope that I get to be a bit more active and try to do some of the things, try to reprioritize my life a little bit. Now, as for other people, well, you know, a bit arrogant thinking that me up there muttering away into a microphone and dropping oranges as I fail to juggle them, that's really going to have much of an influence on folk. But the 2,400 people in the Facebook groups, it's a bond. It's a group of people, I think, being authentic, trying to be truthful with each other, trying to reach out and to be a little kind of micro society. That can't be a bad thing. And in 200 years' time, provided that the internet records survive, I will at least be a source of innocent amusement to some bored historian.
Thank you very much.
Righto.